Food is the language everyone speaks, but do we truly understand it?
Between the conversations over organic food and GMOs, different diets taking the world by storm, and how what we eat actually impacts our environment,
there's no shortage of things to learn about. Hi, I'm Karel Vega.
And I'm Cheryl Kirschenbaum, and this is Serving Up Science. Would you eat artificial meat?
Artificial meat?
Artificial meat. Or clean meat? Maybe cell-cultured meat? Or in vitro meat? And some even call it, I'm not making this up, alt meat.
Alt meat? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about meat that doesn't come directly from animals, but instead from cell cultures.
I guess I don't really have a strong opinion. I honestly haven't given it much thought, although I'll say artificial meat doesn't immediately sound appetizing.
You mean the idea of your food coming from a laboratory rather than a farm?
Yeah, I do remember there was a live tasting of a lab-grown burger in London about 5 years ago that made the news and had a $330,000 price tag.
The mouthfeel has a feel like meat. The absence is, I feel like the fat. You know, like it's a leanness to it. But the bite, you know, feels like, a conventional hamburger. You know, again, this is kind of an unnatural experience in that I can't tell you over the past 20 years how many times I've had a burger without ketchup or any condiments.
Yet we haven't heard all that much about the technology since.
Should we expect to?
Artificial meat is drawing close to entering the marketplace at a much more affordable cost, so we can expect to be hearing a lot more about it.
Okay, so first let's step back and address why anyone is interested in turning to cultured meat at all. What's wrong with cows and chickens?
And seafood too.
And seafood.
Nothing is wrong with farm-raised meat at all. But artificial meat appeals to different people for all sorts of reasons. First, as you pointed out, it doesn't involve killing animals.
I see. So we avoid the environmental impacts of farming, like excess carbon dioxide, water, and energy waste at a time when we know resources are limited. And of course, the ethical issues associated with slaughtering live animals.
And lab-grown meat doesn't require added growth hormones, so environmental groups, animal welfare advocates, and some health-conscious consumers have been eagerly anticipating alternative meats for a long time.
And those are definitely real benefits, but how does the meat grow?
What scientists do is they take an animal's adult muscle stem cells and basically set them in a nutrient-rich liquid that helps them grow and multiply. And a few weeks later, they have millions of stem cells, which form small strips of muscle.
What I'm curious about is, how is this going to work? Is each company going to have one animal that they rely on, and they're going to be like celebrity animals, that they're like, this is Frankie, and he's the best cow, and he makes the best artificial meat cells?
I honestly have no idea, but I hope so.
You know what I mean?
I want Frankie to be the cow. I think it's probably unlikely, because I would expect they'd want diversity of where the cells come from. Probably want to try a whole bunch of different things, but I like your idea.
Strips of muscle. You know, I'm still not sold on this.
Groups of these cells develop around a kind of scaffold that helps them take desired shapes, like turning them into patties or nuggets.
You see, I get that it's really meat, and yet to me, I have to admit that meat from a lab just seems unnatural.
You're thinking Frankenstein, aren't you?
I can't help it.
It's alive. It's moving. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. In the name of God. Now I know what it feels like to be God.
Not quite a fair comparison, but you're not at all alone in having reservations. And you're highlighting the most important part of this discussion on artificial meat's chance of success.
What do you mean?
Right now, there are all sorts of debates on what to call this stuff. As I mentioned, potential names vary widely.
Give me a couple of them.
So the U.S. Cattlemen's Association is worried about competition with farm-raised meat. So they've been arguing against using the term meat at all in favor of just calling it cultured tissue.
That's understandable, although I also can't really imagine picking up some cultured tissue in the deli section.
Me neither. And other groups prefer the name clean meat because of the controlled growth conditions and the lack of added hormones.
That would certainly offer a more positive image given to the current clean eating craze that we're going through.
And there are people who want the label to distinguish itself from traditionally grown meat because the health risks would be different from what's produced on a farm.
It sounds like this meat debate won't end anytime soon.
Probably not, but there's an even more important factor than what artificial meat is eventually going to be called on the packaging.
And that would be?
Consumers, the rest of us. You mentioned that there's this ick factor for some people, regardless of the name.
I definitely have some reservations, although I also really like the idea of burgers without added hormones that don't involve the slaughterhouse and save resources.
Feeling conflicted?
A little bit.
Most Americans are. Michigan State University's food literacy and engagement poll from earlier this year found that just 1/3 of Americans say they would be likely to purchase lab-grown meat at all.
Meaning regardless of how soon artificial meat becomes available at an affordable price or how it's labeled, people's attitudes will ultimately decide its fate in the marketplace.
And in the meantime, we'll be watching the story unfold. You've been listening to Serving Up Science, the series all about food, where it comes from, and how it impacts our health and planet. I'm Cheryl Kirschenbaum.
And I'm Karel Vega, and this is WKAR.